Spotlight. Good evening, listeners. Welcome to today's Spotlight. I am Anubha Rohatgi, and the topic of today's discussion is Assam Assembly Elections, Key Issues on the Ground and Political Pitches. Joining me in the program is journalist Nabo Thakuria. Mr. Thakuria, welcome to Akashvani's Spotlight program.
Thank you.
Mr. Thakuria, Assam will go to the polls on April 9th to elect members for all 126 assembly seats. What are the key issues dominating in this election?
Precisely, Assam has always an identity issue because Assam has to have 1979 Assam movement against the illegal migrants from Bangladesh. So all the time the local indigenous population is suffering from the identity crisis. They feared they will be landless, they will be homeless in their own place in some days. So BJP has taken the issue perfectly. Congress also talking about the Jati Mati Bheti, or you can say our people in their own land. So first is identity, then safety and security. You must be knowing that before 3 decades back, Assam is a land of insurgent,
yes,
militancy, kidnapping, killing everywhere. You just cannot move Assam in a daytime, not to speak about night hours. But now peace has returned after 2000. Now it's gone, it's a lost year. So it's a peaceful place. A lot of investment is coming to Guwahati, the other parts of Assam. And militants have already surrendered, go for negotiation. Only few militants are somewhere in Burma or maybe China border. Otherwise, Assam is a peaceful community. Assam has done a peaceful kind of initiative in the last few years. Assam students started talking about nationalism. Earlier, it was really difficult to speak to the Indians. You know, in 90s, if I speak in Guwahati that I'm an Indian, people may, you know, rebuke you. Why are you Indian? You are an Assamese. So Assam versus Indian, the concept was very much prevailing because of many reasons. And militants, the separatist elements, instantly pursued, subscribed these views. Now it has gone. Everybody is Assamese. Even Bhupendra has told us every good Assamese is a good Indians. So after all this negative kind of development, Assam is in a progressive way. And Assam started contesting with Indian, you know, so-called mainland Indians. So in films, in theater, in literature, in the media. So in that sense, Assam wants to go beyond our difficulties. And the Assam Supreme said that Assam should be around 5 important states in the country. Assam was an important state in 1947, just
right,
during the partition. But slowly, after for many reasons, because of the many issues, we get behind. Now Assam become a dependent state to the government of India.
Mr. Thakuria, I would want you to talk about the main issues that are dominating the election this year. So what are the issues that...
First, identity, then safety, security. Of course, then development, infrastructure development, and welfare activities. Those are issues talking by both BJP and Congress and other regional political parties.
Now, infiltration has long been a dominant issue in Assam politics. You also talked about it. Is it likely to influence polls this time as well? Is it being talked about in these elections as well?
Always. The politician in Assam should be grateful to Bangladesh. Because of Bangladesh, we are born. We have seen a lot of politicians surviving. You know, they are prospering in the place. And government of India, incidentally, government of India has taken Assam as granted that in 1971, when Bangladesh was born, around 25 lakh East Pakistani were in Assam. They were also settled. And even in the cutoff year, you see the whole country has a different cutoff year for Assam is 71, 20 years later. So in that sense, people of Assam, the indigenous community of Assam, always afraid of the illegal migrants. So BJP has actually manipulated, nurtured, and taking advantage of the issues. Congress has somehow different views on this. So Bangladeshi is an issue, is always be an issue.
Right. So this election is being held after the delimitation exercise of 2023, in which boundaries, both parliamentary and assembly seat boundaries, were redrawn for the first time in nearly half a century. How will it impact the electoral math in the state?
First thing first, there is no constitution. We have 126 constitutions as remain it is. Some villages, some areas being included to other constituencies. I will not see anything kind of different because the same people, same voters, same number of constituency. There is no increase of constituency because of delimitation.
But the demographic composition of the constituencies may have changed because of this delimitation exercises. Do you think that is going to be a factor in the polls?
Not necessarily. Demographic changes is taking place. In Prime Minister Narendra Modi also talked last 15 August, Red Fort kind of announcement that Assam is facing, or government of India is facing a demographic changes. So demographic changes is always in Assam. First time Prime Minister has acknowledged this. So it's an issue. Otherwise, delimitation is a regular process. It should have happened more earlier. Mm-hmm. It has happened. It will take place once again after 2029. So I think some constituency may have consolidated with the more minority vote around 26, they say. Otherwise, everything will be same. We have the same number of seats in the assembly.
Right. So Assam has a unique demographic composition in terms of ethnicity, religion and language. How do these demographic factors shape voting patterns across constituencies?
Earlier in 90s, people did not prefer to vote because the militant threatened not to vote. They said, is it Indian vote? Why are you talking place? Now it has changed. In 90s, when we voted, people of Assam voted, people of North East India voted. We actually do give two mandates, one for the candidate and one for the nation. So we vote, we always have two mandates. Now, of course, militancy has gone down. There is no kind of dictate or threat not to vote. So Assam is always voting, and we have around 80% polling, where the nation has around 65 to 70% in some parts of Assam, some parts of Mizoram, some parts of other parts of Northeast India. We have recorded around 90 to 95% voting. So we have voted. People have started voting more aggressively, and everybody wants to vote. Otherwise, there is no kind of demographic way to vote. Everybody will vote. If it's a 90% polling, you just cannot say these people are not voting, this faction is not voting. Everybody is voting.
Right. What about the role of tea garden industry workers and other agricultural communities? How important are they going to be in this particular election? Or do they even figure?
They figure. Tea plantation has a big kind of vote shares in Eastern Assam, Upper Assam, we call. So earlier they were with the Congress party. Now they have only gone to the BJP. So BJP will get advantage of the tea plantation worker, former tea plantation workers. So I think they will vote for the ruling party because a lot of MLA, MPs come from the community. Academic institution is grown up inside the tea plantation worker. Also land settlement paper were given to these people after many years of independence. So they will definitely vote for the ruling party.
Let's talk about the main political parties now. There are, of course, the major parties, including the BJP, Congress, the AGP and the AIUDF. What can you tell us about the pre-poll alliances this time?
BJP has an alliance with the Assam Gana Parishad, that is AGP, that actually born out of All Assam Students Union of the Assam movement. So AGP and then UPPL and BPF, both are directly or indirectly with the NDA. So BJP, AGP, UPPL, BPF, that's Boron People's Front. They are with the NDA. The opposition is loosely there versus AIUDF, is the Muslim-dominated political party. They are not with any alliance. They are in opposition, but they are not in opposition alliances. Congress had earlier alliance with the AIUDF. Now, Congress has an alliance with some constituency with the Ahom Jatiya Parikhat, that is another party, and Rajor Dal. Though not recognized, they have an MLA in assembly. This Akhil Gogoi is the MLA, long MLA in assembly. So Rajor Dal and AJP, not EZP, AJP, Jatiya Parikhat. So they have aligned with Congress in some constituency in Eastern Assam.
Right.
So they may have some kind of impact. Otherwise, BJP or NDA has allies for the last 10 years.
Which regions or constituencies will be the key battlegrounds this time, in your opinion?
I think everyone, because in Guwahati, all four assembly constituencies inside the Guwahati, Gakar Guwahati, they are important because they show the port. And if Chief Minister is from that constituency, he is supposed to get elected once again from that same constituency. Then in Eastern Assam, Jorhat, you can say, look after seat because Congress State President Gaurav Gogoi, also Deputy Leader of the Opposition in Lok Sabha, Gaurav is fighting as Hiten Goswami from BJP. So a look after kind of constituency is Jorhat. Then Sip Sagar, because current MLA Akhil Gogoi, that is Rajya Dal President, is fighting against Kukhal Dwari from BJP. And in Barak Valley, of course, Congress versus BJP and some of the constituency in Barak Valley is dominated by AIUDF as well. And in Lower Assam, that in Western Assam, mostly Congress and BJP. Two or three, maybe, seats are dominated by AIUDF, including the Dhubri and surrounding.
The Bharatiya Janata Party has been in the government for two successive terms in the state. Can you tell us about the poll manifesto of the party?
BJP is fighting the incumbency for a decade, for two terms rule since 2016. So they have spoken harshly about the expulsion. They have talked about the 1950 Expulsion Act in Assam. It's a central law that allows the district magistrate to push back all our foreigners. The 1950 Act was implemented before 1979 Assam movement, also NRC abolition in 2014. So in that sense, the BJP is very clear that we will push back all the foreigners, particularly Bangladeshi migrants, to their own country. Then they have talked about the development, a lot of infrastructure development. One important point is that once militancy has gone down, the extent tone has reduced. I think it's zero extent tone. Then they have gone for the 1.6 lakh job in the last 5 years. They proposed to 2 lakh.
The Congress will hope for the anti-incumbency factor against the BJP-led government this time. How is it wooing the voters? What are the highlights of the party manifesto released by Rahul Gandhi yesterday?
I think Congress is expecting that the people will go, you know, fed up with the BJP and they'll vote for Congress. They will keep waiting till the voters of Assam get frustrated with the BJP. And Congress has included Zubin's girl's name. They say that within 100 days, they will give justice to the Zubin. That's the next to impossible. A political party should not make these comments.
The Congress has also promised scheduled tribe ST status for 6 communities and the formation of an anti-corruption commission. It has also talked about an urban flood mitigation plan. Can you give us a little more details about these points of the manifesto?
I think flood is a very natural kind of disaster in Assam. You just cannot control flood. We have a flood control department. That is a wrong concept. Flood will happen in Assam because of brownwater, because of upper river countries. China is not handling brownwater properly. There's a lot of rain in this state. Congress has said that we'll maintain them, we'll control the flood. Congress used to rule this state. Of course, this is the anti-corruption law.
Mr. Thakurya, let's move on in the discussion. The All India United Democratic Front, led by Badruddin Ajmal, has been a dominant party in Assam politics for nearly 2 decades. In the 2021 state elections, it was part of the Congress-led opposition Grand Alliance, winning as many as 16 seats out of the 20 that it contested. What is at stake for the party now? Is it still a relevant party in state politics?
Relevant in some causes. They depend on the minority votes, right. And everybody wants to have minority votes. From Congress, then AIDF, then other political parties. Badruddin Ajmal himself lost in Bhubri parliamentary constituency.
Yes.
So they are a party for the minority people, but they are limited to some constituency because minority people are being appeased by many political parties, not only AIDF.
So like we were saying, this time round, the AIUDF and the Congress have parted ways for this particular election. Is this likely to affect the core vote bank of the parties?
I think they're supposed to get united and they should have been united because they have the same vote banks. Once they have taken candidates in differently, separately, so they will divide their vote. So it depends on the minority people whom they prefer to Congress or AIDF. And a lot of minority leaders from AIDF have rejoined the Congress party, left the party. But then they run the show till because he has a lot of business outside the country in different parts of the world. So Badruddin Ajmal will run the political party to run his own business, not because of any minority. He has done very precisely little for this minority people.
Right. So in a state where identity, land, language and citizenship collide with unusual intensity, how do you see this particular assembly election? Could this election be a turning point in Assam's political trajectory?
Congress leaders have rejoined BJP just before the election when sitting parliamentarian Poidut Bordoloi has joined the BJP, got the ticket earlier, the Congress president Bhupen Bora has joined the BJP. So Congress is losing non-Muslim political leader. I think Gaurav Gogoi is the ultimate leader in Congress. Otherwise, most of them has left for the BJP. So it will be difficult time. Congress has to gain this power this time to maintain their survival. BJP, of course, definitely they will try their third time win.
Mr. Thakurya, can you give us some figures and facts about the number of candidates, the number of electorate and the kind of arrangements being made by the Election Commission for this particular election?
Election Commission has done a good job. Definitely after the election, they have maintained their situation because the weather, the campaign is not picking a lot of rain in Assam. Just before the election, we have at least 6-7 days to vote on 9 April before we cast a vote. Otherwise, we have around 3.4 crore population. We have around less than 2.5 crore voters and a lot of young people, newcomers also coming to the fray. One is important that we have a lot of young participants as a candidate in Guwahati also and in some parts of Assam. Young candidates are now emerging. It's a good sign for the people that they will see that a kind of new generation, Gen Z, has come to the political sphere. We support them. Let's come and have a kind of clear mandate. Otherwise, security situation is improved. That is a one-phase election.
Right.
Otherwise, we have to have 3-phase election. So single-phase election means that the state has a normalcy, peaceful and law and order in, under control. So single-phase polling from 9 April. Then we have to wait for 4th May for counting. Otherwise, I think Election Commission has done a good job. They are in a good position to control. And I believe that the polling will be peaceful and nothing will be happen and did not happen in earlier also.
Right.
Assam did not have much electoral violence, not like Bengal or other parts of the country.
Mr. Nabu Thakurya, thank you so much for joining Akashwani's Spotlight program.
Thank you.
Listeners, you can also listen to this program on our mobile app, News on EIR, and our YouTube channel, News on EIR Official. Spotlight.